Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. And this is a time of in the life of Abraham and Sarah. We go far back into the history of our faith and hear the story of the way that God keeps the covenant with his people. Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and as he sat there at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, and he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? That should be the question, I suppose, for all of us. Of course, we know, since we are in church, that we should have to give the church answer, which is, of course, there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. Not childbirth at 89. That does not sound too wonderful to me, but anyway. Not childbirth at 89, not a covenant between God and humanity for the salvation of humankind. Nothing is too wonderful. Not God's willingness to bless even an old woman who laughs at God behind God's back. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. Perhaps that's why Abraham tries his best to pull together such a wonderful welcoming feast on such short notice. This wasn't an easy task. Abraham was recovering from a recent circumcision, so running around was not something that he was probably wanting to do, and throwing a party was probably the last thing on his mind as he was recovering. And yet, Abraham did it. Abraham knew that the three who were coming towards him must have been something different because he addresses them as the Lord. He extends gracious hospitality according to the custom of the day, and he sets before them a great feast to welcome them into his home. Sarah, however, was not there to welcome. This was not her place. She fulfilled her responsibilities behind the scenes. And the Lord, as we understand these three men to be, however, brought Sarah from behind the scenes into the light. And from there, there was the laugh that was heard around the world. When God said she would have a child at her and Abraham's advanced ages, Sarah seems to have had a moment of incredulity. She must have been so overwhelmed by that statement that she simply forgot herself and laughed out loud at the Lord. When confronted with her guffaw, of course, she denies it, almost like a child. You know, oops, that wasn't me. It wasn't me who laughed. Yes, it was. You're the only one who's in the room. You laughed. Or sometimes whenever we feel ourselves saying something that we shouldn't say, and you're wanting to stop it as it's coming out of your mouth, and yet you can't stop it, and it just rolls on out, and you think to yourself, oh, if I could just take it back. You really didn't hear that. Those were not the words you were listening to. That wasn't me. That's almost the sense we get from Sarah. Of course, it was Sarah. She was the one who laughed, and the Lord calls her out. That must have been rather intimidating in those moments. Without a doubt, there are those moments in all of our lives when we have wanted to laugh out loud in a worship service or a committee meeting or a session when someone has an idea based on a crazy combination of scripture, faith, and miraculous hope. We want to let out our own and cackle a little bit. We want to let out that laughter, that nervous laughter, like, I can't believe you're going there. Or, oh, no, don't say that. Sometimes, rather than outright laughter, our reaction is more like crossing our arms and rolling our eyes and nervous chuckle and a shift in our posture and that sense that, well, I don't know if that's such a good idea. We say things like this whenever someone else comes to us maybe with a vision or an idea. It makes us a little uncomfortable or seems absolutely ridiculous. Like Sarah, we think about what we cannot do. When she heard that baby pronouncement, I'm sure that laughter came from a place that inside of her that said, there ain't no way a baby is coming out of this tired old body. My aches and pains have aches and pains. I ain't having no baby. You waited too long, Lord, to fulfill your promise that way. I can't do it anymore. She was right. We know that. She was right. Sarah was too old. Sarah was far beyond ever having the dream come true of having a child. She was right. But God had a different timeline, so Sarah was wrong. As many people have pointed out to me over the last couple of years, the average age of our congregation is not as young as it used to be. But hear this good news. Collectively, we are not as old as Sarah. How about that? God can still produce in us something new, and we can give birth to a new ministry, to new ideas, and renewed faith. We just need not to kill the miracle with our laughter or our immediate lists of cannot or will not do's, or cannot affords or cannot support. I'm afraid we do indeed serve a God who is prone to asking us to do miraculous things every day. Like forgiving others and loving our enemies and praying for friends and persecutors alike, returning good for evil and giving away a portion of all we have as an act of worship. All of that is truly expecting the miraculous from God's people. If we were left on our own, we probably wouldn't think so much about those things, but God equips us to be disciples. God gives us vision for mission and ministry and equips us to do it. God brings us together to create new things by which we can help transform the world. Sometimes we laugh at the great vision like that came to an old childless man and woman. There was a great vision that God had. He didn't care that it had taken a little bit longer than they had anticipated. The truth was, God had decided that there was going to be a great nation coming from Abraham and Sarah, and he was going to see it happen. But we must remember that in the beginning, Sarah didn't give birth to millions of people. She had one son, Isaac. That seems to be miracle enough for God in that moment. That was the miracle for the moment. One son who had two sons, who had more sons, who had more sons, who had more sons. And eventually a son had a son who was Christ, and salvation came to the world. But Abraham and Sarah had their one son, and that was the miracle for the moment. And so often our outbursts come like Sarah's did, when you think there from me can no longer come a great nation. How will all of this come to be? Our outbursts come from starting to think too far down the line. What will the vision look like far down the road? We stand around wringing our hands and wondering, how will it happen? How will we make it happen? We have so many questions. We have so many concerns. There's no way we can change the community, let alone the world. It's a laughable notion. But we forget that there are those miracles of the moment that leads to another miracle of a moment, that leads to another, to another, to another. And eventually, great transformation takes place. If we think about it, there was a time in this community when Russell House was just an idea until people came together to make it a reality. And it has grown and it has changed over the years to meet the growing needs and the changing needs of abuse victims. But it did not start out as the Russell House that we know today. It has grown and changed. In this community, there was a time when grace was just an idea to address benevolent needs within our community. Churches came together, they worked together, and now years later, after great transformation and changes and moves over the years, we have the wonderful ministry that is Grace. There were miracles along the way, miracles in the moment, where if we had said at the very beginning, this is what grace will look like, we might have laughed and said, how could we possibly make that a reality? And yet, as we lived faithfully and as this community and its members lived faithfully over the years, it has grown and changed to meet the miracles and provide the miracles that are needed in the moment. A few years ago, the Vineyard Church downtown asked itself a question: if we closed our doors tomorrow, would anyone besides us really notice? They decided to make a difference in people's lives in the community. So they opened a free laundromat. Not only did they do this thinking that students might come take advantage of the service, they wanted to help people struggling to make ends meet. The average family of four can spend around $50 per week on laundry at a laundromat. If one is struggling financially and cannot feed their children, laundry becomes a burden. So they could come to the mission in the basement of a church and save some money. This may seem like a minor convenience to many of us, but for families who regularly send their children to school in dirty clothes, they are likely to be tagged for neglect and get a call or a visit from the Department of Families and Children's Services. They get entered into the system and get investigated for not taking care of their children. So providing a laundry service to families can mean the difference between having your children taken from you, perhaps, and being able to keep them at home and raise them out of foster care. Free laundry, who knew it could make such a difference? That church and the mission had a vision of providing one ministry, free laundry, to alleviate a single problem, dirty clothes. But over time, things have grown and changed. One volunteer started to provide snacks on his shift at the laundromat. And then people decided to start serving meals. And things grew and changed with time as the vision grew and hearts were changed. Birth led to growth, and growth led to transformation. And God was there and is here to move people to meet the needs of others, to live the gospel and participate in God's transformation in many lives. The mission now provides three meals a day, a place where people can come and find connection to social services. They can come and relax in the cool or in the warmth. And even during the winter, there was a time when they could find a place through the night and not be outside. It didn't start as a full homeless ministry. It started with four washers and four dryers and some laundry soap. That was the miracle of the moment. And it has grown and it has changed to affect many people's lives. In this season, so influenced by Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, we must remember that we can still dream dreams and have visions, and we can focus on what we can do and not what we cannot do. Can we pray? Yes. Can we give? Yes. Can we try something new? Yes. Can we give time and energy and encouragement? Can we hear when we are asked to serve? Yes. Can we still dream and have visions of God's desire for us and for Rolla and for the world? Yes. Yes, God can teach you, and God can teach me, and God can teach us something new. God can lead us and grow us and give us a vision, not of something that is huge, that will change the world forever in this moment. God can give us a miracle today that says, if you follow me and do what I ask you to do, it is not you doing it, it is me. And when we allow God to take over God's miracles and grow them within us, the world is changed for individuals and for communities. Let us remember, there is nothing too wonderful for God, not even for us, not even for us. Amen.